Well, good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Sherry KB, and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from Northern California. Today is Friday, May the 8th, 2020, and this is our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we're at Chapter 11 on page 156 in A Vision for You, starting with the first paragraph, beginning with, "One evening he took the bull by the horns." We'll be reading this one paragraph only that ends in his line of business. We'll be commenting on this one paragraph only. Today's readers are Pam M. for the 12 Steps, Karen W. for the 12 Traditions, and the readers of our text are Jordan L., Julie E.B., and Shannon M. Our newcomer reader today is Colleen M., and Janice P.M. is our announcements, and Lynn S. is a recording. Thank you all for your service this morning. Our share ID for yesterday, Thursday, May the 7th, 2020, our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 14,581. That's 14581. And the share ID for this morning's Friday, May 8th, 2020, our 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 14,585. That's 14585. OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who through shared experience, strength, and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Pam M. to read our 12 steps. Good morning, Pam. Star 1 to unmute, please.
Blessed morning, everyone. This is Pam M. in upstate New York. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening, as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to the compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you. I pass.
Well, thank you, Pam. Thank you for your service this morning. And now, Karen W. will read our 12 Traditions of OA. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning, everyone. This is Karen W., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me do service, and thank you for yours. Have a great day, everybody, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Karen W. Thank you for your service this morning. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and the literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our absence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no absence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you've done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except for the speaker should be muted. So that includes your personal mute button on your phone. Please don't use that. Just use star 1 to mute and unmute. That way we have a nice quiet meeting. Thanks for your cooperation with that. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 156, the first paragraph, which starts with, "One morning he took the bull by the horns," and it ends with, "in his line of business." So we're going to be commenting on that one paragraph only today. And now I will ask Jordan L. to get us to start reading. Jordan, good morning. Jordan L., star 1 to unmute.
Good morning, Sherry. Can you hear me okay?
I can, Jordan. Thank you.
Awesome. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado this morning, and grateful to be awake and on a meeting with you guys. So, one morning he took the bull by the horns and set out to tell those he feared what his trouble had been. He found himself surprisingly well received and learned that many knew of his drinking. Stepping into his car, he made the rounds of people he had hurt. He trembled as he went about, for this might mean ruin, particularly to a person in his line of business. So Dr. Bob is a doctor, obviously. That would be his line of business. and that would be a lot, right? To tell your patients and stuff that you're alcoholic, and that you've been drinking and popping pills. sorry, I don't mean to laugh, but, you know, we make light of our craziness, right? After we recover. I wasn't telling patients about my compulsive overeating, but I was telling people in my life, you know. I remember so very clearly. The very first OA meeting I went to was in 2012. And I remember it clear as day. I can picture the room, even some of the faces that were in the room. And I remember it because it was the first time that I told anyone about what was going on. It was the first time I had told anyone the truth about like what it was that I did with food. I really thought I was the only person in the world that did those things, you know, until I walked into a meeting and I heard others sharing pretty like openly and freely about it, you know. I didn't get abstinent then, and I didn't stick around OA, but it was a start. Like, there was something planted that day. There was a seed planted that day of honesty, as far as how willing I was to be honest, first with myself, and then later on down the line with those around me, as far as, like, what it was that I do with food, you know? And the people in my life today, they know the whole story, from all the way up until now, and like what it is. I don't know if this is a good thing or a bad thing, but like my boyfriend pretty much has my food plan memorized. He can tell you whether or not it is abstinent food for me, just because like it's very important to me. And I've made it really clear to all the people about me, you know. I made it really clear through that amends process that, like, I really wanted to change. I didn't want this to be, like, another BS diet, you know, that I was really, like, 2 feet in, ready to change. And I haven't done it perfectly, for sure. The behavioral part, not the abstinent part. But I continue to show up. I continue to show up for the people in my life and make those living amends. So anyway, that's all I have this morning. Thank you for letting me share.
And thank you, Jordan, for getting this started. All right, so we are in Chapter 11, A Vision for You, starting on page 156, paragraph 1. One morning, he took the bull by the horns, ending in his line of business. Who would like to comment this morning, but also was asking you that although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your shares to every third day, and that includes any meeting on A Vision for You. So who would like to share this morning?
Lisa G.
Juliara.
Okay, I heard something. Kara?
Sarah.
Sarah. Sarah, what's the first initial of your last name, please?
L.
Oh, thank you, Sarah.
Heather W.
Lisa G.
Lisa, I've got you.
Okay.
And I've got Heather W.
Julie E.B.
Gotcha, Julie.
Irene B.
Okay, I heard somebody say Michelle, and then I heard you, Irene B. I think that was a lady named Michelle.
Michelle J.
Michelle J. Okay, so I'm going to take Michelle J. And then, Irene, you will be on the next round. You'll be the first one on the next round, okay? All right. So I have Lisa G., Sarah L., Heather W., Julie E.B., Michelle J., and then we'll catch Irene on the next round. So Lisa G., please go ahead, and then Sarah L. will follow you. Good morning, Lisa.
Hey, Sherry, thank you. This is Lisa G., recovering in Texas. You know, this was when he made his fifth step amends, and it was, you know, I wish I could just get in my car and drive around to everybody who I had harmed, but a lot of the people that I had harmed didn't even live in the same city that I lived in, and there were several that I couldn't make face-to-face or any kind of amends to them. I had to make living amends because it would have hurt them worse and hurt their family. But the thing that I really get out of this, and I've done this wasn't his fifth step, excuse me, his ninth step, but it's a real ego smash, you know, to go around and tell people that you're sorry for what you've done. And that's what we need to do. We need to smash our egos, because that's what's been, like for me, that's what's been killing me, and still, because I want to hold on to it so strongly. And the hardest part for me always has been, most of the people that I owe amends to are people that have hurt me too. So, you know, at first I'm thinking, well, they need to apologize to me. But that's not what this is about. And it actually has almost nothing to do with them. It has to do with us humbling ourselves and getting rid of the bitterness in our own hearts. And separating all that stuff is not easy. And that's what doing all these steps is for, so that, like right now, I'm working on another fourth step and showing myself what my character defects are and what part I had to play in these relationships. So I've had some pretty good experiences making amends with people. I've had one experience that I just wanted to, I wasn't turned down or had the door shut in my face, but I was told all the horrible things that I'd done, and I just wanted to lash out because this person had hurt me too, but I had to swallow it because it wasn't about this person making an amend to me. So anyway, that's what I've got. Thank you, and I'll pass.
Well, thank you, Lisa G. And Sarah L., you're up, followed by Heather W. Good morning, Lisa. Sarah. Good morning, Sarah. Star 110 mute, please. Can I be heard?
Okay, yeah. You can hear me now? Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you now, Sarah. Go ahead,
okay,
please.
Great.
Thank
okay.
you.
This was, for me, step 9, making the... which step is it, though? Step 9, making the amends, was the most difficult step. It is actually coming out of my shell, out of my mind, into the world, and actually going over to people and making amends, and that was very, very, very scary for me. Most of the amends that I made were received very well. I made amends to a teacher that didn't know something that I did anonymously to her, and it was so sitting on my heart for so many years that I had to go out and make that amends. And she did not even remember my name or anything, but at the end of the day, I felt lighter. And then there was the amends that the person kept saying, I don't care. She was yelling at me. She refused to listen to what I said, and it was very difficult. But the beauty of doing the step is at the end of the day, no matter how someone received me, whether they were grateful or gracious or rude or slammed the door in my face, as was just spoken about, that it's all about me. And this step helped me to lift the rocks that were in my soul and in my heart and be able to move forward. And from there, every time I have to make an amends, it is so much easier. And it's so much louder. They say empty barrels make a lot of noise. When I had so many rocks in my heart, I couldn't even feel it. I couldn't even move forward. But now that when there is an amends that I have to make, it is so obvious to me. And I know how difficult it is often, but the results of it are just incredible. It's just incredible. Thanks. That's all I have.
Thank you, Sarah L. Heather W., you're up, followed by Julie B. Good morning, Heather.
Hey, everybody. Good morning. This is Heather W., recovered compulsive eater in Baltimore. Grateful for everyone's service and for being on the line. And, yeah, this is a powerful paragraph about, step 9, and it works. And the paragraphs to come, we learn how well it works, that he never went back to drinking. But, it starts, and he said, he made the rounds of people he had hurt. And that's so important to remember. The step 9 is me, who have I hurt? Not how you hurt me, not what your part is, not, you know, well, 50-50, you did a little this, and then I responded, no. It's really me making amends, giving something authentic and true, and changing the behavior, you know. I apologized a lot before I worked the 12 steps, but making amends is different. It's fixing things. It's me changing. You know, and then it says, and learn that many knew of his drinking. And this reminds me of a part in Bill's story where Bill says, you know, many people would have been surprised that he wouldn't draw a sober breath for years. And this just, it reminds me of the delusions I'm in when I'm in my addiction. Like, I think people don't know. You know, like, I'm surprised. Oh, you knew what I was doing with food? And it's like, yeah, people knew. Because I was crazy, and all I did was talk about my weight, you know, and going to the gym. And physically, I didn't have any weight to lose because I, you know, was starving myself. But it's like, yeah, people knew, you know, and I think we can often delude ourselves. That's part of the delusion, you know, that people don't know. And then finally, when he ends, you know, saying this might mean ruin to a person in his line of business. And we can just catastrophize, you know, and say, well, I can't do this because, you know, what if this ruins my job, or what if this happens, this or that. But, you know, God has got us and protects us and gives us the courage to walk through all that. So, yeah, you know, the step nine process, it can be difficult. It can bring up fear, but when we walk through it, we get so much freedom. You know, I can just live free today. And before, you know, where it would be like, oh, I see someone in the grocery store and I need to hide, you know, I never have to do that again. My street is clean, and I'm so grateful for that. So with that, I'll pass, and have a great day, everyone.
Thank you, Heather W. And Julie E.B., you're up, followed by Michelle J. Good morning, Julie.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., Morning Voice, gratefully recovered today in Colorado Springs. Wow, I just absolutely love this section, because this is what it was like for me. I'm so grateful for this meeting where we don't just share our experience, but we study a text like this text, and then we like the speakers have before me, we jump off from there and also share our strength and our hope and how this has changed us. And when I first walked into my first 12-step room for a different program, they were on the 8th step because it was August, and my gut just clenched because I thought I could never, ever make an amends to someone because I am such a piece of garbage. But I came to understand through working the steps that I was powerless over a lot of things. My life was unmanageable, and that my higher power looked at me and cared about me, care provided for me. And so I was able to do that fourth step and look at things from a different angle. Who knew that that would be a key life skill? Well, if I've cheated just even a little bit in my fourth and fifth step process and retain some measure that maybe it's the other person's fault. Maybe my marriage wasn't going well because of my husband. Maybe my family wasn't going well because you know how my kids are. But now when you get to the eighth step and you take those bit by the teeth, and even if it's going to seem like it's going to mess up your business, every place I went, my higher power went ahead of me. I worked with my sponsor and other people in support, and my favorite line in the ninth step is, place the outcome in God's hands, or all is already lost. Well, doesn't that work for almost everything in my life today? If I'm in the outcome, how this, he just took the bit by the teeth, or teeth by the bit, or anyway, and just did it. And by taking those actions, every time he did, he said what I like to say myself, I'm the problem, and God loves me anyway. You know, if I'm the problem, there is a solution. But not only that, if I'm the problem, and God loves me anyway, then the outcome is already set. And so today I look at things from a different point of view. You know, yesterday I wanted to say a few words to one of my sons. I mean, the fact that I have my kids home, 21, 19, 17, and I'm staying out of their business most of the time, because it's their life, That is my living amends. That's because I had to go to them and say to them, look, I tried to live through you. I tried to control you when I was upset. I tried to criticize you when I was having a bad day. And now I just watch and appreciate them instead of criticizing. That's what I have. This whole idea of looking at it from another point of view.
Thank you,
if
Julie.
You get stuck on an amends, you'll know. Thanks.
Thank you. And before we hear from Michelle J., just going to remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 156, the first paragraph. At midnight, he came home. Sorry, not at midnight. Sorry, one morning, he took the bull by the horns, ending in his line of business. And we're going to hear from Michelle J., and then I'll take some more names after Michelle J. Michelle, good morning.
Good morning to all of you. Michelle J. from Arkansas. Recovered today by the grace of God and by working these 12 steps all the time in order. And the reason why I said that in order and laughed is because this one morning he took the bull by the horns is a paragraph that's set in the middle of five paragraphs. And in those five paragraphs, I have seen step 1 through 12. And I enjoyed so much today just reading those again and again and going, wow, because step 5 and 9 kind of are right there. But, you know, just a moment before the bull by the horns, I've got a problem. And God, I'm going to give you mastery over it. That's step 1, 2, 3. And then, you know, one morning he's going to do this and he's going to tell people. I'm going to tell people about myself, about my innards, about my emotions, about my crap. And that's kind of like, you know, that's kind of like when you get into 5 and you call somebody and say, gosh, you know, I'm a mess and this is my mess. And I think it's absolutely beautiful because once we have this mess and we expose it and we bring it up to the light and we share it with people, then we have the debris that was left over. We were the chaos at times and we were the storms. And so we have this mess. Now, every day, God is revealing to me my character defects. Every day, God is showing me that he can do this and he can, you know, reconstruct me from the inside out. And so he shows me gently and patiently a lot. And I get to go, okay, now what's my part? And do I need to tell somebody about it? And then I get to go, now what debris in my life have I left? Because that debris is still inside of me. I know when I hurt somebody. I know the damage I caused way inside. And if I let that stay in there, I can't proceed in program. I can't stay. And then the exact next paragraph after he finishes taking care of business, he had never had a drink again. He had recovery. He had abstinence. So following these steps in order is paramount every single day. And it will keep us in recovery, and it will keep us in abstinence. Read these five paragraphs. That's 1 through 12. And if you have any difficulties, just grab somebody online and say, what does this mean? But, it's very important to go through your debris and get it cleaned up because we've done damage, and it's healing for us to get that done. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you, Michelle J. So again, we're discussing page 156, the first paragraph only. I've got Irene B. Who else would like to share this morning? And please remembering that only share every third day. Who else would like to share?
Laura.
Karen W.
Okay, I heard a Laura. What's the first initial last name, Laura?
R.
Okay. Then I think I heard a Karen W.
Yes.
Okay, got you, Karen.
Darian K.
Gotcha, Darian. I've got room for two more.
Laura K.
Okay, got Laura.
Pam M.
And who M?
Pam M.
Pam M. Okay, gotcha, Pam.
Thanks.
All right, so I've got Irene B., Laura R., Karen W., Darian K., Laura K., and Pam M. Irene B., go ahead, please, and you'll be followed by Laura R. Good morning, Irene. Star 1 to unmute, please, Irene.
Good morning. This is Irene B. gratefully recovered today from bulimia. I love all the previous chairs, and very grateful for this step because I hate it. You know, I am your chronic apologizer. I will apologize to you because the sun came up this morning. It's like everything is like, I'm sorry. And so I thought amends is like no big deal. I mean, I got that one down pat. Well, amends is not apologizing. It's making things right, and making things right is a whole lot harder than simply apologizing. And you know what? I don't do these perfectly, but I do the best I can. And the best thing is that this is not a one and done. This is an ongoing process. If because of my denial, in the sense that I can't see what I can't see, I don't know what I don't know, it's not a one and done. So I used to be super scared that I was going to do it wrong, because I did think that this thing was a one and done. And then all of a sudden, I had this sudden revelation in the middle of a face-to-face meeting. And I just, it's like, wait a minute. This is not a one and done? You mean, yeah, I guess I get to do this for the rest of my life. So if I miss something, no big deal. It's not one and done. And it's not about apologizing, because I'm not responsible because the sun came up in the morning. I'm not responsible for bad weather. I'm not responsible for anybody's bad day. I'm not responsible your boss screamed at you. I'm just not. So with that, I pass. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Irene B. and Laura R. You're up, followed by Karen W. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning. Thank you. This is Laura R., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater out in Greeley, Colorado, and grateful to be on the line amongst all of you beautiful people. Amends and just this book, man, and just this process, it is so awesome. You know, you look at the paragraph above, and sometime later, and just as he thought he is getting control of his liquor situation, he went on a roaring bender. You know, coming into the program, and like, you know, we've heard on a couple shares, people talking about thank God for the steps being in order, and, you know, thank God for having that, the willingness in step one to put the food down and say, oh my gosh, I don't know. I can't control. I do need a higher power, you know, or a higher power in step two, but just realizing the you know, desperation of our situation, and then realizing that it's on my own, I'm screwed, and that I need power, and getting that power. And then in step three, we make a decision to turn our will and life over to God and do that four step. And in that four step is usually like the first three columns, pointing the finger at you. And then when I get to like put the finger down, pray to God, ask for clarity, and putting aside the wrongs others have done. Now it's just not even about that person. God, reveal to me the yuckiness inside my heart and the damage that I've done to others. And when I, you know, again, like humility is one of those, you know, character traits that I get to take through each and every one of these steps. And oh my gosh, when God reveals to me the harm I've done to others, usually around the fourth step, I am ready to make that amends. It's like, oh dang, I am so sorry, you know, like just the love, the wall that I built up, the pointing the finger, the blame, all that is just shattered. And that happens only by God. Because again, by me, it's my ego is way too big to want to say, you know what, I made a mistake. And you know what? Guess what? Make them all the time. Make them every day. Why is it so bad to be able, like, I'm not going to make that amends to you. You know, I'm too afraid. But instead to be able to say, you know what? I wronged you. This is what I did. And I'm so sorry. And most of the time they know. Actually, they know more than I do. And I think actually the beauty of the step is to allow them to tell me if there's anything else that I have done that I don't know about and I didn't bring up because I don't know. It's something that maybe harmed them and it might be their stuff, you know, but the bottom line is it's like, wow, didn't realize that I did that and didn't realize that that hurt you. And I am really sorry. You know, what can I do to make it right? And changing my behavior. And again, with God, that's a lot of times when I get to the ninth step, I get kind of scared because it's like, it's not just about, it's about owning it, but it's about change. And that again can only come from God because for me, I'm extremely selfish. And that's why I keep coming back one day at a time. The food's down, you know, all the other substances are down. But now the real, I think it's, you know, like in the sixth and seventh, this step right. separates the men from the boys. Thank you. I'll finish up. You know, every day I got to pray to God and ask God to change me and continue daily asking for that help. And oh, just a great step, just a great book. And thank you all for that. I'll pass. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Laura R. Karen W., you're up, followed by Darren K. Good morning, Karen. Please, Karen W.
Yep. Hi, it's Karen. Karen W., recovered compulsive overeater in Long Island, New York. And I thought I might have something unique to say, but everybody else pretty much had said the same thing that I was feeling. Someone had shared about this step being the ego smasher. The first amend I made was to someone who had really hurt me terribly. And I worked quite a bit on, you know, I couldn't give the amend until I was ready to not expect a sorry back from her. And I did do the amend. I did, you know, it went very nicely. She received it. We made a plan to meet for lunch. And then the next day I proceeded to share it with my sponsor and went on and on and on about how I was hurt. And I had to do several step 10s on that because it was like I had to, you know, really get it into my heart that it was not about her. And any time that I would make an apology in before doing the program, it's, you know, I'm really sorry I did this, and here's why. And now the amends are changing, you know, and for close family members on my list, it was living amends, living amends. Well, that doesn't fly anymore. I had to make amends to my sister and to my daughter and was nervous. And now I'm working on the one for my son. And now I can't wait to give it to him. I can't wait to make amends to him. And I guess I'm hoping that this is the process of the program. You know, the more I strengthen that muscle, you know, of owning my behavior and the way that I hurt you. And regretting it and committing to not do it again, the stronger it gets. And I can't wait. My son is a long distance over the road truck driver, and hopefully he's going to be home in a couple of weeks, and I can talk with him and do that. So, and that really surprised me because I thought, yeah, no, I don't really need to do that, and I really do. And I want to thank everybody for everything always, and have a great day. And I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Karen W. And Darren K., you're up, followed by Laura K. Good morning, Darren.
Good morning. This is Darren K. from the Berkshires, recovered for today. Oh, I was just looking. I wrote a few little notes, but such a good paragraph. You know, I looked up taking the bull by the horns. It's a great idiom, and it means to deal with a difficult situation in a very direct way. And that's really what the ninth step is about, right? Dealing with something that's difficult, but being extremely direct about it too. And I also wrote down just a few words, like from the previous paragraphs of how this person was feeling. He was intrigued, then he was worried, and then he argued. And that's when he went on a spree because, you know, he was arguing and not going for it. And then he took the bull by the horns, even though he had the fear and he was trembling. And it was well received. And the next, I looked ahead to the next paragraph and he felt happy. So, wow, that's sort of really the ninth step in a nutshell. You know, it takes courage. It takes bravery. You know, it takes putting your ego aside, like people were saying. I've experienced this step a number of times. And each time that I... you know, left that person, my heart was so much lighter. You know, that's what happens with this program too, is, you know, we come in for the weight loss but our insides, our hearts, our minds become lighter too, you know, as a result of doing these kinds of things. And thank goodness, too, it is the ninth step and not like the first or second or third even, that, you know, it's pretty far down the line. And we get to do, you know, the writing and the telling just one person, our sponsor, who's non-judgmental early on in the fifth step, so that we can prepare ourselves to actually go into the real world and do this kind of work. And yeah, it takes a lot of courage, but it's surely well worth it. I can attest to that, and oh, so grateful. Thank you for listening. I pass.
Darren K., Laura K., you're up, followed by Pam M. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning. This is Laura K. Grateful. Well, I'm not recovered yet. I'm compulsive overeater, and I'm calling for the first time and very nervous about it. But what I wanted to say is this paragraph. I've been waffling for a while now about taking the bull by the horns, not about the ninth step, but about calling a new sponsor. And I decided today to take the bull by the horns, and I have reached out now to three people, and I'm going to talk to people today about sponsoring. I had started in the program, a year ago, March, and had a wonderful sponsor. I was doing great in the program. I actually had started taking on sponsees, and around last Thanksgiving, my sponsor said that she was no longer going to participate in Vision or OA, and I just totally felt abandoned, and it was my issues, I know, are old about abandonment. I've been abandoned by other sponsors and other programs, and so it just sent me for a loop, and I've been struggling ever since. I haven't had my alcoholic foods, but my behaviors have not been good, and my food has been, I've been finding other foods that seem to be taking the place of my binge foods. So not that I'm not really binging, but I'm not in a good place with food, and I need to do this. I recently started reading some of my journals, my old journals, and I have been dealing with this forever, and I just can't do it anymore. I have to get a handle on it. So I thank you very much. I'm so grateful that I read that one paragraph this morning, and it hit me not as a ninth step, but as a first. So thank you so much, and I appreciate everybody on this line. With that, I pass.
Well, thank you, Laura W., and please stay after the meeting, and you'll hear about sponsors. They'll give their names and phone numbers out. Thank you, Laura. Pam M., you're up, followed, and we're going to have some time for some more shares after Pam M. Good morning, Pam. Go ahead, please.
Blessed morning, my beloveds. Just love hearing your shares. Just love it. So I just want to take a moment to talk to the newcomers, because I know if I was calling in for the first time, or, you know, I would be like, are you kidding me? Because I was that way, as many of you have shared. You don't have to do this alone. By the time you get to this step, you will have relationships with your fellows and your sponsor to hold your hand through this. And we as a fellowship will help you to know who you have harmed, what you have done. You'll get to go through everything. What do I say? How do I contact them? How can I make this right? You know, and as so many of us have shared, it's the ninth step. You're not doing this at first. And so you have already gone through quite a bit of psychic change by the time you get here. And it's really a natural unfolding of your consciousness and your heart opening and humility being developed. And I couldn't imagine apologizing to anybody that I was angry with at that when I first came into OA. And so what happened, though, was I did the obvious first. And then as I gained more and more recovery, somebody's unmuted, other issues came to light. And, our higher power will reveal to us more and more. As we've heard, yeah, it is the hardest, but it's also the most rewarding. This is the one where you get to join society again and be part of your family and your friends again. And where you can really begin to forgive yourself and see yourself as you truly are. And it's a miracle. So grateful for this program. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Pam M. And just reminding everybody, we are on page 156, the first paragraph. I have room for about one more share.
Mary Grace H.
Did you say Mary Grace H?
Yes, I did.
Go ahead, Mary Grace. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm Mary Grace, compulsive overeater. I was great to listen to everybody. I like to listen before I talk so I can formulate my thoughts better. And what I realized when I made my first A-step list, I had too many people on there. That was my ego. My ego said I hurt everybody I ever met in my life. So I had to put that down. And as the story says, he talked to people he hurt. He didn't hurt everybody in his life. There was different ways, writing letters. The one thing I want to say is I'm really glad that I made peace with my mother, and it took me many, many years to forgive her. And I had to look at what she did right finally, because I'd made my amends. I mean, I still called her and saw her, and, we had a good relationship, but I still had lingering resentments for many, many years. And I want to tell you, I'm really glad that I did that, looked at what she had did in the last few years, because she died 2 days ago. And so it's really important for me to clean up my side of the street so that when a tragedy comes into my life, I'm at peace and I don't have to eat over it. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary Grace. So we do have time for a two-minute share. Who would like to share? Anybody have a burning desire? Can jump in. The water's warm.
France N.
Did you say Fran?
Yes.
Fran M.
France N.
France N. Okay, go ahead, France N.
Okay, God
has
led me. Okay, my name is France N. And I'm a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater from Lillian, Alabama, originally a New Yorker. I guess what I was thinking about this whole time while I'm walking in nature is how sensitive I am. And when I do make my 10 steps or when I was doing my fourth step, how, others that aren't compulsive overeaters may not be as sensitive as I would be. So I think some of my fear may come from that. On another subject, I'm having a difficult time with resentment about myself. I just can't seem to come to terms with that for the choices I've made and the decisions I've made. And I would welcome any feedback. I can leave my number at the end, and I have a list of numbers that I want to say out loud that I'm going to call and ask for their experience, strength, and hope. But it's causing me a lot of pain. And I'm not sure if I thought once I was done with the 12 steps that things were all going to be better and I wasn't going to have any of this thinking anymore. I don't know. But I just needed to say that. And I'm just speaking from my heart. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you for your service.
Thank you. And please stay at the end to get names and phone numbers. Thank you so much. So that's all the time we have today for sharing. It was a great meeting today, folks. Thank you so much for all that shared and all who listened. So glad you're here this morning. I want to take the time to thank Team Friday, Pam M., Karen W., Jordan L., Julie E. B., Shannon M., Colleen M., Janice P. M., and Lynn S. Thank you all for your service this morning. And so now we're going to listen to Julie E. B. read from page 164, right before we close. On page 164, A Vision for You, please read, "Our book is meant to be suggestive only and keep you until then."
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered today in Colorado Springs. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.